Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If we're missing the idea that we're not supposed to come every time we have sex, men. I don't think men are actually supposed to come.
I would love that. I don't think men deserve to come all the time anyway.
Listen.
Are we not saying the same thing?
No.
Oh. I said Jesus. Yeah. That is a penis.
That is a penis.
That is a penis.
That is a penis.
You're listening to Laid Bare.
Charlotte, I'm masturbating. I told you I'd be doing that all day today.
Hey guys, welcome to Laid Bare. You're joined with me, your host Oloni.
I'm your favourite homegirl, Nikki.
And we have a very special guest with us today. He's an actor, he's a musician, and he is now officially an author, Jordan Stevens.
What's going on? Can I clap myself? I don't know.
Yes.
Clap yourself.
Clap for yourself.
Yes, I should clap myself.
Yes, clap yourself.
I don't do that often. This is fun that I've written a book. Listen, I'm joining you.
Yes. Also, congratulations. I saw that you were at the WOW Festival as well, again.
Yes.
That's brilliant.
Oh, this year.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say. I saw you at the WOW Festival. Yes, I was on your panel at the WOW Festival.
Yeah, you were on my panel, but you were on it this year as well, because I was stalking you on socials a little bit. I was just like, let me see what he's up to.
They've given me an evening,
Oh, that's amazing.
It is amazing.
Wasn't that a couple days ago or weeks ago? How long ago was it?
What, that we did our thing?
No, that you did yours. Didn't you do one this year?
No, it's not happened yet.
Hasn't it? Okay, when is it?
It is May the 24th.
Okay.
So it was around that weekend. But okay. Yeah, it's like an... It was odd because obviously I love Women of the World Festival. I've been to it a lot.
Yeah.
Having like a slot to talk about the book was a complex emotion for me just because obviously it's a platform for female voices. And I love that.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it kind of. I mean, listen, you go there and you see like a plethora of incredible women from all parts of the globe. Mm. But I think they've always had an incentive to include everybody in the conversation. Do you know what I mean? So that's the motivation behind it. And I thought the last time, in fact, last year when we did the talk, way more men in the crowd, which is good.
Yeah, that is true.
And WOW is popping as a festival. It's always been popping.
Get your tickets, guys.
Yeah, no, WOW's genuinely really good because you genuinely learn so much and great for everybody. So I think if we can bring as many different types of people into the festival as possible, it's a win. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. No, me and Jordan nearly butted heads because we were talking about sex. And then I think there was a topic that came up.
Yeah, what was it?
What was it again? I don't remember though.
On the night?
Yeah.
I mean...
I'm trying to remember what it was. I think something was trending around that time.
Okay.
I'm getting flashbacks.
Yeah, it was a bit of content that I did. And I remember... Was it the car? The Uber, right?
It was the cabs. I knew it.
Do you remember the podcast that we did?
Listen.
Where I read out my mate's tweet. No, my mate's scenario.
About and paying for the Uber.
Yeah, the guy didn't want to pick up her Uber.
Let me know when the car's outside.
Yeah.
Are you all right?
Wait, what's your problem?
That is the standard. Listen, everything is a case by case. In life, we need to accept that most things are case by case.
Absolutely.
Hard to generalize.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone's saying that should be the overall vibe for dating, let me know when the car's outside, that's crazy to me.
She didn't say, let me know when's the car outside. She was just expecting. She was just like, oh, are you going to come get me? Or do you want to get me an Uber or something? Do you remember?
Yeah. I do.
So.
And then he said something, was it sharp? A bit sharp.
Like, yeah, it was a bit sharp. He was just like, he told her, you can take a train, a bus, walk. You could take a donkey and go from Bethlehem to XY.
Go ahead.
Might as well have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you accept? But your point, I'm sure, was
me personally. I always said that I wouldn't do that. But if that was that, if that's what she wants to do, I'm gonna support. If you want a guy, if you expect a guy,
you wouldn't expect that.
I wouldn't expect it. I personally wouldn't do it.
Okay.
But I wouldn't be shy. I wouldn't not do it at the same time. But I'm just thinking, if I look back, if I keep it real and I look back at my dating experiences, do I tell men to like, oh, da da da? No, you know, obviously you can tell guys where to pick you up from, but generally speaking, I don't want you to know where I live. I don't know if you're a weirdo.
That's actually
do you know what I mean?
For me, that's a more important point.
Yeah, but you can, but if I wanted to argue against that, I could also say you can also pick me up from a train station that's you know, away from my house. But still, if I want to keep it real with my raps, I've never ever asked a guy to come and pick me up. I just prefer to meet you. But her, if that's what she wants, I was just thinking to myself, I don't think it's a big deal. Okay. But Jordan was just like, no,
I don't know what. No, I wasn't shouting about it
because I was thinking we don't know how he puts himself up.
He wanted to jump over the host to get at me. I was just like, Alani, please.
Yeah, we were actually separated. It was war, actual war.
Wait, I'm joking. We were chilling, man. I'm exaggerating. I'm absolutely separated. No, but tell us more about the book. I want to know about the book. Okay, so this is the title that I'm just gonna. Okay, so it's Drugs, Heartbreak,
Avoidance, Drugs, Heartbreak.
Okay, Avoidance, Drugs, Heartbreak, and Dogs. Yeah. Okay, tell me more. Tell me more.
ADHD, which is
like a
theme that came into the book by accident. Like, okay. I wanted to write the book because when I was younger, I had a relationship that, you know, it had my struggles in the relationship, and I eventually reached like what I consider to be the most significant heartbreak in my life, because from that heartbreak, I was pushed into working on myself. I think from that point, you know, I went sober and I took the steps towards becoming a man or whatever, a more mature version of myself. I think before that point, I was definitely more in a young boy zone.
Yeah.
I was in a boy zone. You know what I'm saying? Which I think a lot of men can be boys for a long time because pain is an essential part of growth. And that was especially painful because the situation itself is kind of happens a lot. It's not ideal, but happens a lot. But the effect of it was like all the stuff I've been avoiding, all the grief I've been avoiding, all the past relationships. I was a shit boyfriend. I was like, had real issues with drugs. I had like, you know, and I had commitment issues, all of that.
Yeah.
So, but when I was going through that heartbreak, for heteronormative men, then there don't seem to be that many stories told. There will be some, don't get me wrong. I haven't read or seen everything, but especially in kind of like I don't know, in my generation's public awareness, I've not seen that many stories told specifically about emotion. I see amazing love stories amidst other things like gangster slogs or like, or like, you know, drug dealing or, I don't know, just within another story, or maybe it has to be more fantastical. But that's one of the stories just about a heartbroken man, heartbroken boy. And I thought, well, the best place to start would just be to be as honest about that time in my life as possible. And it involves everything, infidelity, drug abuse.
And it's a memoir, isn't it? So
it's just about, it's a window. Yeah. It's like a little window. It's not like a tell-all. It's not, I'm not doing up this whole, you know, it's not a celeb thing. It's like, it's, I just want young men to be able to, and women, to be able to just read like a true account of, you know,
is your battling with emotion that you want people to relate to, well, try to relate to and can understand your personal experiences.
Yeah, I feel like, again, this is changing. I'm seeing changes, but like, there are so many, like, if you even think about TV, there's the second the doors have opened slightly, when it's not been so dominated by men. I mean, listen, there are some sectors which are almost entirely dominated by men, or white men, but like, when the doors have opened, some of the shows that have been written by women and queer people and queer and the queer community are amazing. Do you know what I mean? Dissections of I May Destroy You, Adult Material, Fleabag, I Hate Susie, you know, like there's just these constant, incredible Heartbreakers, another popular one about like a young boy coming out. Yeah. So it's like, I was just like, oh, I might be wrong here, but my only memory of like understanding about maturation as a straight boy was like The In-Betweeners.
Oh my God.
And everything's a
great
joke.
Show though.
Great show. Yeah. No, 100% great show, but how can that be a reference point for like discovering
your masculinity?
Or like sex.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, or growing up, becoming from being a boy.
Finding puberty, yourself. Yeah. We had Skins too.
Yeah. Skins is cool.
Yeah.
No, Skins was good. Skins, I guess.
I didn't watch Skins, but I know it was good.
No, like, Skins had some, I'd have to watch it back. I loved that as a kid. I remember being more drawn to like the cool, reckless nature of it than the dissection of how it felt. Great, but maybe it was good. It was good.
Everyone, listen.
But, you know, but look, the thing is, it's just I just wanted to investigate how I felt and hope that creates conversation. That's it.
Yeah. Amazing. So obviously, you explained that the acronym is for ADHD. When were you diagnosed?
Yeah, when I was like 15, I got diagnosed the first time, and then the second time I got diagnosed when I was like 25 or something.
Is that when you went to Harley Street?
Yeah, I went to Harley Street. Yeah, that was mad. Yeah.
No, so why did you go twice? So that was my thing.
No, I had to. The second one I had to get because I did a TV show and I had to get a psychological exam. To do the TV show.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, that's very responsible.
Well, no, it was like one of those shows where you're like, it's like a survival show.
I know, but it's still responsible at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Because... So I had to be, they had to make sure I wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, No, they had to do that. They did, to be fair, they did do pretty thorough, like pre and post show.
Yeah.
But the show itself, that's another conversation.
Okay.
But anyway, I got re-diagnosed again.
So was it, what are the stages? I've always wondered, because I feel like I have ADHD. I don't mean to center myself, excuse me. But sometimes no, I wonder. Not? No, no, sometimes
it's a good discussion.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder if I've got ADHD as well.
Listen,
so
I
did
think,
you
I
ever see any signs?
Do. I think people do.
What were the signs for you?
Yeah, just like attention span, and you know, I really struggled with school. I did okay,
yeah,
but I lived a lot in my head, and I was very impulsive. Mm. Still am pretty impulsive.
Yeah,
and I issue processing certain emotions and feelings in, but. I do believe that like what's considered to be neurotypical is fading because of the intensity of our experience of life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and ADHD is often birthed in like low income, like stress driven households.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of my favorite researchers on the topic is a man called Gabor Mate.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about that, you know, people are born with the propensity to have ADHD or anxiety disorders.
Mm.
But actually it's also their environment that can just stimulate that, you know?
Yeah.
And that can even come from an environment where you have, you know, a reasonable income, but the parents are emotionally unavailable.
True.
That can also create that same vibe. And because of the intensity of capitalism and individuality where everybody's trying to win and focus on themselves, and you've got to do it.
It's hard.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. Right. It's hard being a parent in this culture.
It really is. Honestly, that's why I haven't had any kids yet. I'm just like, I can't even take care of myself sometimes. How am I going to take care of you?
Mm.
It's hard. But
but I do also, but also another reason why I was, you know, because we've spoken about me coming on here a few times, was that even though
I had to drag him by his legs, guys. I had to drag him.
You know why though?
I said we won't talk about clapping cheeks. Like let's just. I mean, we will more, but you know,
it's because
of your dilemmas anyway.
It's because of my girl. No, it's because I'm impulsive. I'm a very open person, but I do have responsibility in my relationship because my girlfriend is incredibly successful.
Yeah, and we want to respect her privacy.
But the mad thing is, it's not even a reflection of her. Jade is like, we are on the same vibe.
Yeah,
just like what's out of our control. Is like,
it will get spun by the media.
Yeah.
So I have to be careful. And if you knew how, like, what's been spun before, like, in terms of, like, the most
yellow journalism. Yeah. You'll be like, that's not what I said.
But
tell the context, tell the full story.
No, it's crazy. No, it's. Yeah, it was. Anyway.
You speak about relationships in the book as well.
I talk about sex in the book.
Okay, tell us about the sex and the relationships in the book. Can you give us a little, like, what you explore?
Like, I, you know, another thing was that I think, again, I don't know this entirely, but in my experience with my friendships with straight men, relationships with straight men, there does seem to be some element of secrecy around the intimate moments shared with people, partners, and there is like this historic like sense of competition or you know, dominion, like wanting to conquer, not just on a bedpost. You know what I mean? I'm discussing that whole mentality.
Oh, wow.
Like, and also, what was so important for me was I was a young man that moved from London, from Neasden to Brighton, right, where it was like, you know, a majoritively white place,
area.
Which again, for most of my life didn't bear much relevance. It was only as I was coming back into London when I was realizing of course there's cultural nuances that I'd begun to lose. Didn't spend as much time around black women as I'd have liked to, just because there weren't any in Brighton really, other than Ashanti, shout out. But yeah, I think like when I was younger, I remember what it was like hitting puberty. And my school was active, like seriously.
How
active
old?
Sexually, 12 onwards.
What?
Yeah, Seriously.
Do you know what? I feel like, because I went to a very black school. Yeah, not you. Yeah, yeah. I feel like, because I went to a very black school. Maybe they were doing it at 12, but I feel like we shamed people. Like, yeah, the slut shaming was so real.
No, my school was rife.
Is
it?
Yeah.
What, as in fucking from early?
Yes. And oh, wow. The shaming, the stories, the scandals. We don't have enough time in this show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. The scandals.
But you know what was mad at my school, though? There wasn't really, there were rumors, but not really shaming. I can't lie. There wasn't shaming about doing the shit. It was more like, who's down?
Yeah.
Who's going to do it?
No, I still remember.
Yeah, it was, that's what I'm saying, like that and drugs.
Yeah,
from early.
Oh, not drugs.
It was like the drug capital.
Maybe there was. I think. Do you know what? I think I was very sheltered because they were doing drugs. I just didn't know. I was just very. I was.
Why is that man so hyper?
Yeah, right? I was so sheltered. Why are your eyes so small? Like, you know, open your eyes. I had no idea. Like,
yeah.
But no, I wrote, even in my book, I wrote about it. I remember like the slut shaming that happened in my school was a girl who gave head in the toilets and. Boys would constantly find ways to make jokes out of it. Like, I remember one guy, he was just like, oh, I'm going to head out of the school gates as she was near. And I was just like,
that's pretty good.
Oh,
pretty
my God. I'm not laughing.
I will
at
never
her.
Forget yeah. it. I still remember him, Chris Brazier, God punish you, because that was me.
Yeah, but you wait, understand. You understand if she offered it, though.
She did, but I just felt like.
No, as in to him.
Oh, she. Oh, yeah.
His tune would change.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He said, I'm going to head out.
He said, I'm going to head out of the school gates. I still remember it. I remember it like clear as day.
But for real, it was in my school. It again the power balance between men and women, girls and boys. Even the girls definitely had the power till about late year 10.
Yeah,
so these girls. If you got on the wrong side of these girls, the rumors were more painful than any fight.
Really? Like how?
You could have an interaction. You could have a sexual interaction with a girl at a party, house party, whatever else. If you make a mistake, or if you know, we're discovering things here.
Of course.
I remember. Like, we didn't have porn like now.
Oh, child. Lime wires.
So, this is the other extreme now. Back then, it was like loading up a desktop wallpaper. You know what I'm saying? Like, just to see some...
Yeah, literally.
Like, body. Like, so we really were... And again, we don't live in a society necessarily where there's elders or that understanding within parents. Sex education is fucking awful at school. So we don't know what we're doing. Don't know what a clit is. Don't know what anything... You know what I mean? Like that. So you're just learning on the fly. And so, you know... You can get something wrong, you can da-da-da-da, and then rumours will spread in the school. And, you know, that's tough. But, you know, at the same extent, I think some boys would rather have a punch in the face than have whoever say that they...
Terrible in bed.
Wow. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone was always trying to compete. But this is also where I found myself finding young boys fascinating in terms of their description of the experience. Because I remember boys saying the wildest shit about, like, oh, yeah, she said I did this and this and da-da-da-da. Or they'd say, I'm good in bed. Loads of guys would say I'm good in bed when they were like 16 years old or
and you know
15.
It's just impossible.
And I'm like, and I remember thinking, because I've been an only child for most of my life, and I would watch people a lot. Honestly, at school I was a bit weird, like, a bit strange, and I was kind of popular because I was like played football, good at football, and I was one of the only black kids in the school and shit. But like, yeah, it was like I was there going, there's no way you can be good in bed. Like, you've invented this concept because every girl is different. You can't have an algorithm for sex.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There could be some things just in an understanding of like I guess a basic understanding of anatomy maybe might get you ahead a little bit.
And you know, when I was at that age, if I hear someone's good in bed, for me, that's what the adults will say on TV on shows that I wasn't supposed to be watching.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect someone the same age as me at school to say that.
Do you think that is a thing, actually, while we're here? Do you think that's a thing, to be good in bed?
At, what, 16?
No.
I was going to be like, hey, no.
No, even as an adult, can a person confidently say, again. I'm good in bed? If a man said, I'm good in bed, would you believe that?
Nah,
if he said it, I'd be like, let me try it.
Yeah, but, right.
I would. But I think, like, at this stage, I think it's more... I can believe a guy is good at sex, you know? I think through talking, not just saying it, I have to have a conversation with you. And then I get a better insight. But it was like me, though. I used to tell my friend when I was like, this is when I was 19, 20. I used to lie about having an orgasm. And my girl would sit on the phone. She goes, are you sure? You're not lying. I'm like, no, I'm definitely. I was not.
I
was not. And I wish I was so honest with her, because we would have had better conversations about sex. But I was too busy lying. But no, continue. What were you going to say, like, about men claiming that they're good in bed?
Yeah, yeah. No. I just. It's another thing I talk about.
Yeah.
That those moments in my life where I'm listening to these boys and we're growing up, and I hit puberty late too. I hit puberty like 2 or 3 years later than other boys. I was still growing like when I was like 21.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
You know,
that's me.
It's nuts. So like, Yeah. So that's the kind of stuff I talk about, and I want to talk as openly as respectable in this book.
Yeah.
You know, obviously there's some limits, but I do like to talk about like the fact that also the fact that like we build up these fantasies as men because we're shown these fantasies, we're sold, constantly sold sexualized fantasies, you know, that we can be like controlled by like the idea of breasts or ass or whatever. We just buy things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's true. Sell, bro, it's not that long ago that they just sell beer with just a woman with breasts. People be like, oh, buy the beer.
Or a newspaper.
Right. And so, yeah, I talk about that.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, so I just think like, I talk about my experiences with that. Like, okay, so I went from this boy, a little bit odd, and then the school, like, a bit strange, didn't know my place anymore, but I worked hard.
Mm.
I got built up some notoriety, and then suddenly, a bit of power, a bit of money, and I had more options.
Yeah.
And I was definitely trying to make up for an inadequacy.
Did you enjoy yourself?
Yeah, of course. In my early 20s. Yeah, of course. I was hedonistic. Yeah. Really, very hedonistic.
Can I ask? Was it easy though? Because every time I chat to us, like artists, they're like, tell me, what's it, you know, say, sometimes they're honest, sometimes they're not.
Easy in what sense?
In like, not like, you know, in terms of reception from women.
Yeah, women were
throwing themselves.
Like, I don't know what a woman thinks a woman throwing themselves is like, but, I do think, yeah, especially the
basically
first,
you say hello and she removes her top.
Not that, but you get people like waiting places.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Or they'll all forward, like very forward. Ooh. Or like, you know, if you're in a club or something, they don't make it, they're not shy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, but this is like, I'm thinking especially the come up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much attention and buzz, yeah. Everything's growing, like everything's like, ah, and the people want a bit of it.
Yeah.
But I was definitely like, I think now, if I was saying it to, you know, a relative of mine or a young man that I would hopefully be mentoring or something like that, I'd definitely be like, yeah, of course, look, I think everyone should have experience as much as they want within reason.
Yeah. Mm.
But I do think that I wish I'd had been handed down some better tools just to understand my own sexual energy,
yeah,
and to respect it more.
I love that.
Yeah, do you know what I mean though? Because it's like, because casual sex can be great, of course, mm-hmm. but just from my experience, of course it's going to be better if you build up some relationship with that, not like in a relationship, you know what I'm saying?
Of course, you can just have a good relationship. Of course, yeah.
Like, I do remember even when I was younger, even when I was still like had a lot to learn, I remember ducking out of the one night stand thing pretty early.
Like, what do you mean? As in like,
I didn't like it,
you didn't vibe with it at all?
Again, not shaming anybody who's into that vibe.
It's just not for you. It's not shaming. I think it's very important to understand how you enjoy sex. And I say that to women all the time.
Yeah.
Can you do the casual sex? Are you the relationships type of sex kind of person? Mm. I think I'm still trying to understand who I am as well. Like in terms of my relationships with sex.
I used to think the casual thing.
Yeah.
Can you do casual?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You come out of what?
The casual phase.
Oh, right. You can do it, but you're out of it.
Yeah, but I just can't be bothered anymore. Like, I want more now.
You want more? Yeah,
because I took a break just off of sex for a while. I just went off it.
Yeah.
And then I think we all spoke about my HOE phase.
Why do you spell hope? Anyway, no, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like with me, I feel like, I don't think there's anything wrong with having feelings with the person that you're sleeping with. Not necessarily I want to be married to you feelings, but something about them, you know, electrifies you or keeps you wanting more, even if it's sexually.
I'm literally just talking about like knowing more than the person's
name. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Their last name would like, be nice too.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're talking like there is an era. I don't know if this is, I actually don't know if this is the case anymore. I'm going to be talking to some boys soon, like young men. I'm fascinated.
Mm.
But like, we're talking like, we're going to the club, we're going to a house party, we're getting waved.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoever's down and they're fit, that's it.
Yeah.
Do you know
nothing
what I'm
more. Yeah, nothing more.
And it's like, sure.
Yeah.
I get that that'd be a nice, like, climax to the evening and, you know, in multiple ways or whatever. But,
yeah.
But then I just think when I started to, you know, speak to people and like, like I'm saying, it can be one night, but if you're even sat with a person just talking to them for like a couple hours, getting to know them, I mean, that might be the wave, that might be part of it.
Yeah,
it's just there's something where like, maybe I would challenge the idea that guys are like, I need to come tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That's that mentality of like, I'm going out and I'm gonna
And can you also teach them that sex doesn't stop just because they come?
Yeah, because they come. Right. Hey, listen, do you know what's mad? I've realized recently. Oh my God, this is actually, I'm so glad I got to share this.
Go on, go on.
I'm reading this book at the moment, right?
What's it called?
It's called The Mass. It's so hard to read.
Okay.
It's called The Mass Psychology of Fascism.
Okay.
Deep.
Okay. Yeah.
Written in like the late 40s or something. But the reason I wanted to read it is because this guy, whilst he's describing how fascism rises up in societies, which you could argue we're in a dangerous time now politically.
Yeah.
He talks about how sex is used to control people. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the only writers I'd seen talk about men and like the male libido. And we understand how women are shamed and controlled and bullied and belittled. Like, you know, and we do our best to shift that. But because we're in under patriarchy, of course, sometimes it goes a little bit under the rug, the brutalization of boys or just their perception of self or the fact that they focus themselves purely on getting sex. Do you know what I mean? And I was reading this book and he was talking about like a lot of the shaming of women's sexual desires was centered around the consequence of sex.
Yeah.
They're being like, yeah, but if you fuck all these guys, yeah, and they all come in you, then you're gonna have a baby. That's the constant thing. Like, you're gonna. And then I remembered this guy, there's this Eastern philosopher called Shantak Mia who talks about coming. And I wonder, and I've not really tried this, if we're missing the idea that we're not supposed to come every time we have sex, men. I don't think men are actually supposed to come.
I would love that. I don't think men deserve to come all the time. Anyway.
Listen.
Are we not saying the same thing?
No.
Oh. Okay.
My thing is,
I'm joking, by the way.
No, but you're right though. We have got to a point where it's like, you know, porn, everything is centered around bang.
Yeah.
Cum shot is done.
That's it. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But that's how I feel about sex. I feel like sex in itself is very just PIV focused, if you get what I mean.
Right.
Like, there should be other elements of sex. Maybe you don't always need to climax. Maybe it should just strictly be foreplay. Maybe we don't always need to have sex. Yo. Maybe it could just be mutual masturbation.
No, but this is what's mad is the fact that women can have multiple orgasms.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And the orgasms don't have consequence. That's what I find so fascinating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A female orgasm doesn't have
consequence. It's true, it doesn't, but a man does.
It's pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
That's crazy when you put it that way.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But the thing about the male, the pleasure thing is, and I have tried this in various ways, but not fully to the extent of this guy. I think his name's Shantak Mia. But if, or tantric sex, the idea of tantric, we talk about tantra, right?
Exactly.
So this energy, right? If a guy has, if we're into those intimate moments, we're having sex, the desire is like we're pushing towards this moment. If we were to just not have that moment, I don't think we can even compute that extra energy in our bodies.
Yeah.
We're wanking all the time, we're doing everything, we're all the time trying to let go of this vibe. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some movements in the manosphere at the moment about like not wanking, like conserving.
I've heard this. Semen retention. I've heard this.
What?
But it's that feeling of like,
is it not supposed to be something to do with like control and discipline?
I mean, it's definitely got a bit.
Yeah,
I'm not. That's not really my
your thing. Yeah, it's not.
But the
So some guys will practice. The positive element of it is they're not watching porn.
Okay.
Or they're not engaging with toxic porn, because I think you can have ethical porn.
Absolutely. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Jordan knows about the ethical porn.
Of course, of course. No, because I'm very. Listen, for the stance, I'm very pro sex. Mm-hmm. I'm very pro sexual liberation. That's my current political view. Is I don't believe in sexual repression.
Yeah.
I believe in sexual liberation.
Yeah.
But so this is my, current investigation as to how do we answer the question of the consequence of sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously we have the pill and we have contraception, but how do we live under matriarchy before where women had more sexual liberation?
Mm.
And I wonder if this idea of coming every time we have sex is relatively new in the human.
Yeah.
But people, I know people will drag me for even thinking or saying something like
They'll be like, this nigga don't want people to come, y'all.
No, but the argument they'll make is if you learn the tantric method, or I don't know what the fuck it is, you are having the same feelings as an orgasm, but you're just not coming.
Ooh.
Because you're reaching it's not like you don't enjoy it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we enjoy you're enjoying you it. It feels incredible.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I'm saying? So it's just having the discipline to go. And that, I have done that is mad.
Like edging, basically.
Mad.
Yeah.
But I just wonder, like, imagine. I mean, listen, I'm a dreamer, innit?
Yeah,
like, it's true. It seems ridiculous to even suggest that.
Most guys just want to cut. And I don't, I'm not going to lie, I don't blame them.
Yeah.
I mean, because
it feels great.
Yeah, of course.
But compared to women, no.
Yeah. I wonder if our orgasms are better than yours sometimes.
Why do you wonder? You 100% are.
So. You think so?
I think so.
I wonder as well.
100%.
I wonder.
Because well, most men aren't even getting where it goes.
Yeah, that is true.
Guys, that is true. But isn't the guys...
Anyway. It's up there, isn't it? There was a stat that once said that people, as a lot of sex experts used to go by and say that the female clitoris has 8,000 nerve endings, and it turned out to be wrong. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, no, that study was actually based on a cow. And for so long, yes, it was a cow. I only realized when I was writing my book, because my editor was just like, you need to cite this. I'm just like, what do you mean cite this? Everybody knows this. This is it. I couldn't find it. Then when I did, I was just like, oh my God, this is actually incorrect. This is on a cow. But I'm not saying that we're cows, but I do feel like we have more nerve endings regardless, even though that stat has been proven to be wrong.
It's just being able to, I mean, obviously, again, varies woman to woman, but the fact that there is potential with some women, maybe a good amount of women, that if dealt with in the right way, you can have another orgasm.
Yeah.
Sometimes immediately, sometimes a little, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that is something that's, I mean, I guess you can do that as a guy, but it's less common.
I like that when men have conversations around sexuality and they're breaking stigmas. And I feel like it's interesting because right now, I don't know if you guys have watched Baby Reindeer yet.
Yeah.
Have you watched it?
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah, I actually played football opposite him the other day.
Really?
He was on the other team, yeah.
Really? How is he?
He seemed alright.
Yeah. I'm a new fan.
Like, I think this last week's been fucking nuts for him.
Yeah, it has been. I see him always having to pop disclaimers in his story on IG.
I actually went to see his stand-up show when he was using the sound effects.
Was it that bad?
He was doing a scene. No. I thought it was hilarious. He's got a very offbeat, abstract style of comedy, which I thought was really funny.
Is that what we're calling it?
I thought he was just...
I think it was bad.
Yeah, well, you might... Well,
yeah.
That's what I find funny.
But I think that the story writing that he did for Netflix, which is obviously his true life, was superb.
But this has been happening. I knew about him being stalked from...
Really?
Yeah, during the whole time.
I thought he was so brave. I couldn't believe that it was him, like, basically being him, reliving all of that.
Yeah. Because there's storytelling, and then there's telling a story. He really, really told a story. He really did it so well. The only thing that I can think that was actually close to that was I May Destroy You, which has similar themes.
So earlier when I said about, like, the lacking in stories, Baby Reindeer was the first time in a long while I was like, this is fucking important.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Very.
Not only did he engage with things like sexual assault and pansexuality, bisexuality, also a confused sense of bisexuality based off of trauma, that's massive.
Yeah, like, and that happens to a lot of guys. You know how many guys I've spoken to who have actually admitted these things to me, who've told me that they experienced that sort of trauma, and they're trying to figure out if it's actually something that they like, but they have to repress it so badly because it might trigger them, or they're afraid they might enjoy it.
Yeah.
Or, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And sexuality is, as well, there's no
society.
Fluidity with men is almost unacceptable in this current society.
Prohibited.
Which I think is a real shame.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, it was super brave, and I think also he put a nuanced depiction of himself.
Mm.
That was fucking powerful.
Yeah.
The fact that he enjoyed elements of being stalked, I found powerful.
There were so many people who I did see in the comments, like, who were arguing about it. I made a video as well on TikTok and IG. People were saying that they feel like he enabled his stalker, Martha. Yeah. And I was just like, my stance was that when you're being abused, some of the things that you do don't necessarily make sense.
No.
And obviously there was which we didn't know till you go. I don't want to, if we might spoil it for you. It's been out for ages, guys. Everyone's watched it.
That mentality preys on vulnerability.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like she also knew as well that something had happened to him, because she does say it, like, was it a man? Was it a man? Was it a man? Like, she kind of knew. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the whole enabling bit was just, it felt victim shame-y to me. And I said, you guys wouldn't do this if it was a woman.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've been trying to prop this up for ages. Can we not put it up? Are you sure?
Yeah.
But people, if I was just like, that was a woman. And I also think that people forget that this man was in his 20s. I know he looks he does look like he's in his 30s, but he was actually playing himself in his 20s.
Yeah.
And if that was a white girl, blonde hair, 24 something, and there was this near 40 year old man coming into the pub every day, showing up to their shows, singing.
Yeah.
I don't think we'd have. Look, we wouldn't argue.
I think a lot of conversation gets lost In terms of things like consent and abuse.
Yeah.
Because the threat from men is so immediate. Mm-hmm. I find that, you know what I mean? If a man is stalking a woman, that's immediately a danger to that
person. Of course, because of the power dynamics as well.
Just the physicality of it.
Of course, yeah.
But what we need to try and not do is lose sight of how damaging the presence of a person can be and the emotional damage that comes.
Absolutely.
It's like the conversations around domestic abuse. Like, a lot of the time I hear people quote statistics on domestic abuse, which are true, by the way.
Like
a lot of women are in incredibly awful situations.
Mm-hmm.
But what's tough is that there are also an incredible amount of men in awful situations, but you won't hear about those men mm-hmm. because they're not necessarily fearing for their life.
Yeah.
Their life is just being destroyed.
Yeah, silently or.
And because of the confines that we've made for ourselves and that has been supported by everybody, there's a lot of shame around even admitting it. Like, who's going to admit that they're getting bullied by a woman? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
These are the other... So I wonder if that maybe plays into people's immediate reaction.
Yeah.
They don't take it so seriously.
Yeah, it's true. No, but that's why I'm just like, guys, let's dig deeper. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this was something that happened. Because I think she's stalked him for like 2 years.
Oh, mate.
I think
it's a long time.
It was a long time.
Also, I don't think we... You know, it's hard to quantify like what it's like receiving so many emails.
Emails. Exactly. Oh my God, the emails. Like I said, she was doing... There was so much that was done to him. And even when she went silent... No, it was the bus stop that really got me. I'm sorry. That's the only part where I said, you're better than me. I would have left her there. But there's never that black and white. It's never that black and white. And I think on social media, I think when it comes to consent on social media, it should be black and white.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the reality is, because even in my book I wrote about, I said there are some great areas, like when it comes to... just life. I think life is full of grey areas sometimes. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Not everything is crystal clear.
It's not crystal clear. So that's why when I was seeing people like kind of blame him for the situation or that he did this or that he did that, I'm just like, this guy tried. Mm-hmm. He yelled at her.
Mm-hmm.
He played make-believe with her. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a scene when he took her home and he said, oh, you really think that... Okay.
Yeah.
And then he tries to break up with her. Like, fine, you believe we're together. Do you know what I mean?
Also, I think it's an important like comment on, you know, a lot of men, I think, silently have a real silent distaste for themselves.
Yeah.
And like, if somebody comes along, man or woman, and it's like, you're fucking brilliant.
Mm.
Like, you're actually amazing. Mm. Like, it's so difficult to not melt.
Yeah. Mm.
Because you don't get that much.
Yeah.
This is a generalization, and there are some amazing male friendships I've seen, some incredible fathers, a lot of incredible dads.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the last 5-6 years I've seen personally.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we've been scarred, our generation, from before.
I mean, I bully men. If you don't take care of your kids, I will bully you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Let's not even go on to that. I'll start shouting.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I have a friend. Every time I call him, I used to ask about his child. He used to get so annoyed. I stopped calling him. And the next time I did, I asked again, how's your child?
So annoyed.
Huh?
He used to get
because he wasn't taking care of the kids. So I would, every time I called, I would, are you taking care of your child? I don't care.
Well, that's a shame. No. He's not in the fucking team.
Yeah. But anyway, continue. But 5-6 years, we've seen some guys step up. So
yeah, I'm just trying to be balanced.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think, I just think that enforcement, it's one of the reasons why I love seeing feminism. I love seeing kind of like female movements because it's so like... self-assuring and like positive, like, you know, there's self-affirming, like a lot of incredible self-affirmation, and I think it's not as prevalent with men, and I think that's why on that level it's so important that Richard Gabb was honest about the fact that he did think, actually, I quite like this
the
person.
Attention all the attention,
just saying
well.
That I'm great because I don't think I think that about myself.
Mm-hmm. He definitely had his own insecurities as well, and it's the same thing with the guy was the same thing. He did the exact same thing.
The writing,
his director came into the pub to help him with his one man show. Lots of people started turning up, made him believe that he was going to be on TV or have a shot at writing something.
Because that's what I found hard to watch.
Yeah, sorry, go on.
No, I found it so hard to watch Baby Reindeer because, like you said, with women, like, we see this a lot more often. Well, people see women go through this a lot more often. So seeing it from a man's point of view, it was really getting me when I was watching. I was just like, oof, like, I don't know how I felt about it. But I was just thinking, go this guy, like, for telling the story and telling it from this point of view, and that there should be more of it. Will there be? I don't think so. I don't know, to be honest. But then it
more
was
of what?
Men being able to tell their stories.
You've had a couple of men on this now tell us.
Yeah, I have. I have. But sometimes they don't know that they're telling their story. They don't know, because I'm just like, she took advantage of you. They're like, no, she didn't. I'm like, oh, I just told you she did. I'm telling you that this story's fucked. But it's not for me to like force you to understand. Like sometimes people have their awakening when they're just like, oh fuck, that actually wasn't right.
Yeah,
I can't force you to see it if you don't want to see 100%. It. But I feel like because men are supposed to be seen as these macho sex robots, even if it's someone taking advantage of them sexually, they don't see it as that sometimes. Mm. And I get it's to do with patriarchy, and I get it's to do with the men before them, etc., etc. But that's why these conversations are important. I mean, I don't know if you saw a video. I sent it to you. Mm-hmm. Do you know that guy? I don't know if you know this TikToker. Have you heard him? He's called, what's he? Yeah, his name's JP. He has that song, TikTok. I don't want to sing it, but I've been playing it. No?
No.
Anyway, JP, he was on a podcast the other day, and he was talking about his sexuality. Mm-hmm. He's straight presenting, of course, but he admitted that he'd had sexual relations with a guy before.
Yeah.
And then the guys on the podcast were just like questioning him like, oh, did you enjoy it? And he was just like, yeah. But because he's, again, black, tall, this guy's like 6'5", basketball player, doing his thing in college, as well as TikTok. He's now a musician, doing really well in numbers. The guys that were around him were acting very immature, didn't really want to, couldn't believe what they were hearing. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But I'm
more
sure
of that.
Huh?
More of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more of that. And he was also telling, I think it was someone who was trying to take advantage, not take advantage, but someone who was trying to like blackmail him, like, because the sexual relationship he had with the guy was years ago before he blew.
Mm-hmm.
So his stance was just like, you're not going to beat me. Like, no one's going to do shit to me. Like, yeah. And I was just like, that's the energy we need, because it's true. Yeah. Who's actually going to beat you? Obviously, people in the LGBT community, a lot of harmful things do happen to them. But I think I'm coming from the stance of, you know, I just want people to be able to not only just be able to tell their stories, for people to know how to accept people's stories and to listen and to not act immature, to not act weird. And, you know, I just feel like, yeah.
Go on.
Oh, no, because I was going to say at the end of the day is their story and not yours. So what's happened in someone's past, present, what they want to do in the future, sexually, whatever, I don't see what, I've always just had this stance. Maybe it's just me, clearly, for this, my point of view, I don't get how it affects other people.
Yeah. Homophobia is ridiculous. Oh, and for men, especially straight men, I think it's a curse. It has to be. Firstly, I really actually just struggle to process it as a concept, just because it's of how obviously natural the whole situation is.
Yeah.
And also this, like, the, I think a lot of, how do I say this, like, I think as men we forget that we're half woman, like, genetically, and like we have those energies, and we need to balance these energies, the masculine and feminine, in whatever way is possible. And for me, homophobia is most commonly an extension of internalized misogyny. It's just an extension of this disdain for femininity.
Absolutely.
But it's so important to engage with that for our own sense of well-being. Like, we need that shit.
Yeah.
These men who are erratic, don't know how to feel connected, don't know how to measure their feelings of commitment or balance, emotion, like, grow up, you know, men get into their 50s and 60s and don't have like a stronger connection with the people around them as they should do. That kind of thing.
Men are dying lonely.
Yo, it's what I'm trying to say,
it's
right?
Happening.
We need to integrate that part of our society, and accepting like something as basic as sexual fluidity is a massive thing.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's not to say that everyone has to be sexually fluid. It's just like,
I believe more people are sexually fluid. Yeah, I believe a lot of us are sexually fluid. It can't just be women.
Yeah, because a lot of men get onto each other, like, to admit it because they might suspect it, but then look at the response when somebody's admitted it.
Yeah,
like, because they find it scary.
Yeah,
like, because it's
how do you admit that? Yeah,
It's challenging because there's this. Listen, I mean, there's so many things I don't understand that we just do every day, like the no homo and pause and all that kind of stuff. I can't stand it.
The comments sometimes, I'm just like, wow, are we still like, you know, 20 years? It still feels like the 80s when I see some comments from people as well. I'm just like, and you know what it is? I think because there's little education on sex, and I'm not just talking about the biology, I'm just talking about real sexuality. People do not, and that's why we have countries who are making these like laws and saying that, you know, being homosexual is a sin or is a curse or it can get you locked up. I'm just like, if only you guys really understood sexuality. And sometimes I think they do because they live it in secret.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But anyway, let's do some dilemmas because we'll be here ranting forever. No,
but I'm telling you, the conversation's been fluid. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I was gonna add.
Let's do some dilemmas.
Before we do dilemmas, can we just talk about how white your shirt is?
Yeah, we were talking about this before.
Listen, what are you putting in your...
What are you putting? Do my laundry, please. Because I'll be throwing all the colours together. Listen, and hope for the best.
How is that... Are you doing a Daz advert right now? Are you sponsored by Daz?
Daz sponsor me. We need a close-up. When you see when I do that...
It's
white. On my top. They're little
white. And you, do you know what I'm surprised about? If it was me, I would have had foundation marks all over.
Yo.
So I wear black a lot because I behave like a child.
Oh, with the makeup.
Don't jinx it because by the time I get home.
My walls in my house.
I've got toothpaste on my jumper right now.
Oh my God, on my door, foundation.
Foundation.
On my dresser, foundation.
Because
if I just touch it.
Foundation.
On my wardrobe. Jokes.
Foundation.
My bed. Foundation.
Oh my God, it's like my headboard one time. It was a doggy went wrong.
Yeah.
And then you just saw foundation.
We love a little bit of doggy went wrong.
You got your face punted into the headboard and foundation came off.
You know what that happened to me on the side? I don't know how it happened. You know, like you've got the side of the bed, like the lower side.
Wait,
I was mopping the floor and I saw foundation. I said, "How did I get there?" I was re-envision the sex positions. Like, was it? No, I couldn't. I don't even remember. Or was it?
Oh
anyway, yeah, I'm still trying to work out how to get foundation off because it's like suede as well, so it's really hard
to
like
water.
Okay,
I put it off my bed because my bed frame is crushed velvet.
Okay, yeah, that's mine. Anyway, dilemmas, guys. If you want to send me your dilemma, simplyaloni.com/ask, or you can send it to me or a voice note, laidbearpodcast@gmail.com. Right, let's get into it.
Aloni, before you start, can you move your mic like to face you?
Like this?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Move it like slightly further away from your face as well. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Right. Okay. First one is, hey Aloni, my boyfriend is going on a mixed holiday with his friends, boys and girls. I was originally supposed to come along, but now they've said no partners. I thought my boyfriend would bring it up and defend me, but he didn't. I'm pissed off because now he's going on holiday and I can't go. All his mates are from uni. He'll be there for 2 weeks. Do I have a reason to be annoyed and pissed off?
Yes.
Why can't I go? We're both 27. Do we all get that?
How many of these do you get?
A lot.
Do you get loads?
I get loads. Yeah. I get loads.
Is that kind of fun?
Sometimes I'll be getting dilemmas that trigger me. I'm like, bitch, stop asking me that. I can't help you.
Really? Yeah,
there's a few times I've shouted on the show. Do you remember when we had India Dummy? I started yelling. Yeah. And then India looked at me like, whoa, like, what?
You just got, mate. Hold on. So how long have they been with each other?
I don't think she said, actually. She just said, yeah. So sum it up again. Mixed holiday, boys and girls. He's going on holiday. They're all from uni. Said she could go originally.
I mean, there's so many that for me, I need so many
context.
More.
Yeah, more.
Like, has she met all of them? Does she get along with them?
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
That is true.
Like, if that seems to be the rule.
Yeah, but I don't think there's anything wrong with going on a mixed holiday.
No. But yeah. I mean, like, generally speaking, that's the rule, isn't it? Like, if you're spending a bunch of time with somebody your partner hasn't met, you got to do your best effort to get them intro.
It's true.
As soon as.
Oh, absolutely.
So then that's... Because it's the fantasy that kills people, isn't it?
Yeah, like that's true.
Not fantasy, the
idea. Yeah.
Like, who's this new person? What do they look like?
Exactly. I don't know them. I don't know their vibe.
2 weeks on a mixed holiday, because you know I want to yell. 2 weeks on a mixed holiday with people from uni. There's a video on my Instagram page, guys. I actually shouted. I said, my man is not going on holiday without me. God forbid they go to somewhere like Ghana. Like,
what? No, like any holiday?
What? No. Okay, actually, it depends. It depends the country. But like, you see somewhere like Ghana. It
depends on the country.
Yeah, like Ghana or Nigeria, when it's dirty December time, you're not going anywhere without
what
me.
What can you do in Ghana and Nigeria that you can't do in Mexico or
I know,
Indonesia?
But for me, listen, I have dirty December very well, okay? So I know. So that's why you're not going anywhere. But I don't like the sound of that.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, no spouses. And what if one of them girls used to like you in uni?
I mean, don't we all like someone? Your like has nothing to do with me.
Okay, but you're going on holiday.
But also, like, no. I think in that situation, It's just the reality is, if your partner's going to cheat on you on that holiday, then you're not supposed to be that person.
Yeah, exactly. Hey. And if they're going to cheat on holiday, they cheat on you in London.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, what are you going to do? Like, stop them from going on holiday and then what? They just do it another time.
I can't lie. Listen, sis, you're not going to leave him. That is a given. We know this. We know this game.
We do know this.
Yeah, you're not going to leave him.
Every week.
But what you just need to
not
stay
going anywhere.
What I would say, what I would say this, and this might not be.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, go on. Say it.
If this was actually my brethren, yeah. If this girl was my brethren,
yeah.
And she said this to me, I would say number one rule is don't get annoyed about it.
Yeah.
From the jump. Even if you're pissed, deal with that after. The thing you don't want to do is send your partner off on bad vibes.
Yeah, true.
That's the single worst.
Because then they'll fuck.
Because
you've given him the excuse now.
Bruh.
Yeah, it's true.
Then you start going, how's it going?
Yeah, well, enjoy actually, yourself. Have fun.
You have to be like super cool.
Yeah.
To the point where that person's going, rah, what are they up to?
Yeah.
You want them to be like, babe, go for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Go for 3 weeks. I've actually got plans. It's mad.
Yeah, it's true.
It's actually worked out so well because I've got to do this script of my brethren that I haven't, do you know what I mean? We've been trying to write this script for so long.
Exactly.
So every day we'll be in the cafe.
Yeah. It's true. It's true.
You know what? Maybe I'll just do the week.
It's true. It happens. Honestly, I don't think it's something to like have a big fight about. Like, you know what I mean? So, okay. Right. Next one. Hey guys, my boyfriend and I argue over who's going to whose house. He mostly comes to mind, and that's because the truth is I hate going to his house. It's untidy and quite dirty. He has pets that climb the furniture, sometimes bowls that's been left in his bedroom for days. I've been bitten before when I slept around. Nikki?
That's this-
Shut up. I said I wouldn't say
that. Is this your sneaky link?
There's a story.
She told us a story a couple of weeks ago.
We weren't recording. We had just come off bike. Because there was a dilemma that made me say that.
Do you want to tell the story?
You can't say it, can you?
I swear you said it on the show.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
No, we had just stopped recording.
Okay. tell us the story.
Oh my god!
If you want to, no pressure.
Okay, I'll just put it this way. Listen, I've slept at a guy's house and been bitten before, and yeah, I told the story enough.
I'm sorry, that's so gross. I know.
No, I'm not going to be getting on to me. Nikki fucks dirty guys. No, but,
could you see the floor?
He wasn't dirty.
Okay.
He wasn't dirty. You got bitten. What was he?
My friend, I said the dilemma.
Okay. Sometimes bowls that's been left in his bedroom for days. I've been bitten before when I slept around. I've told him about it, and he tries to clean up, but it looks like a tidier version of a dirty room. What do I do? As I really like him.
He's just.
What was your boyfriend? Of course you like him, but
yeah, he's just dirty.
Yeah,
I would just say you're just nasty. I can't. Unless he's going through like something like depression, because I'm not gonna lie, I get depressed sometimes when I go through my little like moments of depression. But I will hire a cleaner. But not everyone. I think cleaner is just like between 30 and 50 pounds. It's not that bad. Depends on how many hours you want them. Guys. I do love my cleaners.
She loves her cleaners.
I do love
cleaners.
My cleaners
are essential. I promised myself that was the one thing I'd make.
Oh, I have to invest in one.
I'm pretty messy.
Yeah.
But I have made a concerted effort.
Yeah.
To, like, to sort my shit out, especially when I'm sharing at home.
I'm the same. I feel like I'm more of a slob than messy or dirty. I feel like I'm more of a slob, but that's why I always get cleaners.
Like just throwing clothes in that.
Clothes on. Like I've got another room for like my wardrobe and my own bedroom. My bedroom's tidy, but you see my wardrobe room?
Yeah, man.
Oh lordy. Do you know what? I actually texted my little cousins today and said, who wants to earn £50?
Can you stop that?
I want them to come round and tidy.
Tidy it up.
Yeah, just tidy up.
You know what? I will say that. Do you know what's mad though?
£50 is fine. If
I'm
like 16.
If I'm doing mess, yeah. If I'm throwing things around, jackets, bags, whatever else, like I get that at some point I've got to move out of the way. I can operate in mess.
Yeah.
Like, even if my girlfriend's
me
messy,
too.
I can operate in mess.
Yeah.
And the craziest thing is, I know where everything is.
That's me. I know where everything is.
It'll look like this is mad. I'll be like, I know it's in that pile under the third t-shirt. I know what t-shirt that is. And then actually, there's been times when the cleaners come around, sorting things out, and I'm baffed.
Yeah.
I don't know where the fuck anything is.
Yeah.
You lot give me anxiety.
No.
Are you a clean freak?
I can't lie.
No, but I like things clean. That's why I get the cleaners.
I have to be tidy.
For some reason, I just started cleaning everywhere. Like, I went into a deep clean. Usually, I just want to like, you know, just chill and
like
relax.
You see when my wardrobe gets messy, I'm like, I can't, like, it could be 11:30, I want to stay up. I'm like, no, everything out, I have to fold everything and put it back.
Oh no,
that's not my girlfriend.
No, that's not me. I'm going to bed.
I must do it.
I'm going to bed, or I'll hire my little cousins to come do it for me. But unless he's going through depression is only when I go through my, okay, this is getting scary, you need to get help kind of phase. But I feel like encourage him to get a cleaner and maybe help as well.
Yeah, because you didn't say if you've helped.
I think I guess try and breed a sense of joy.
No.
How can
you breathe if the air is musty?
I'm saying that like understanding how rewarding it is to get things in order,
do you know,
and
what
to be presentable.
Like, you know, kids in nursery have potential.
But we needed that.
It's time to
We needed that.
Is giving like the tidy
up. The nesting thing, man. Again, that like, needs to be like more pushed on.
Yeah,
boys and that, you know.
No, but that's it's true though.
I also know some boys who are mad. Like my mate, one of my best friends has OCD. Like he's spotless the whole yard.
Yeah,
guys that have been to jail before, they're clean.
Yeah. Clean in jail.
Sorry, no. If you got guys who've been to jail, they're clean. That's like a thing.
No, their homes are really clean. They're clean freaks. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Because you lot know I love a road man. So.
No, my ex fiance was the same as well. Oh yeah, I'm not engaged anymore, guys. By the way.
Excuse me.
Oh yeah, I'm not engaged.
You know what? Because we need to talk. So can we cut this out? Because
I'm not cutting it out. We don't need to cut it out. I'm not engaged. I haven't actually shared it, but this is the first time I'm sharing it.
That's
I'm not engaged. Huh? There's new information.
You
I'm
know
not
what's
engaged.
Funny? My sister literally just asked me about you today because I told her that you
ask about her as well.
No, I told her. That's what I was telling her. She was like,
"You broke up with a guy."
Yeah, I left him. I decided that this was something I have to leave, and
you're gonna make me sad for you.
No, honestly, I really do. I'm sorry. No. It's not that serious.
It just happened in the last week.
This has happened quite recently. It's been going on for some time, but I just decided, you know what? I need to pick myself. And I was just child, you need to get out of this.
And I'm glad.
Yeah.
If that's the case. As much as I can't, I'm getting so sad for you. But if that's the thing and you came to that point being engaged.
Oh, no. You have to. I just said.
Because when you said ex-fiance, I went, I did slow-mo like.
I was like, you had two fiances. Wow.
No. Or who knows? Maybe the next one. I'm joking. No.
Damn.
Yeah. No, it's all right. It's all good, man.
Do you feel the weight's lifted, actually, as a result?
Absolutely. I feel free. Like, even talking about it now, I feel free because I think for so long, I was just like, is this something I want to do? Are you sure you've gotten this far? But I was just like, no, if I stay in this, I'm just harming myself.
Wow.
So I said, I carried my bag and I said, I'm out. Like, I actually have to go. I feel free.
Because what did you lot do?
Was it the practicality side of it? Because wasn't it like a long distance?
It was long distance. Yeah, it was long distance for some time. And then I just said, pardon?
Was that hurting the situation, the long distance?
What, was that hurting it?
Yeah.
No, it was the person I was with that was hurting it. Okay. So I said to myself, anyway, I'll share more on Instagram. Cool. I'll share more on Instagram. So if you guys do want to know, you can be nosy on Instagram and find out more there.
Do you really want to put it on Instagram?
Put what on Instagram? That I'm single. Yeah. It's not a curse.
No.
If anything, I really do hope it inspires other women to leave situations that they're not supposed to be in, because I think people have held me to a standard that I did not put myself in or to.
Yeah.
And I think for a very long time, I think people see me as this type of city girl, fuck niggas. And I'm just like, guys, I've actually been in like 3 monogamous relationships, like probably my whole life. And it's the reflection or the idea you guys have of me because of, you know, whatever blogs post of me when they post a snippet of my work and they're not posting the other side of what I do. You have this impression of who I am, but it's not my responsibility to, you know, to convince you about who I am, what I am. But again, honestly, like, I just hope it encourages other women or men to leave situations that they shouldn't be in and that isn't good for them.
Guys, I've heard a lot in this episode. Next episode, I'll shout. Say it for the men.
No, I really do hope it. No, honestly, I always... Guys, even, you know, when we're doing our dilemmas and we're saying dump him or leave him or you're not going to leave him, sometimes they will leave. Like, sometimes people will leave. So I really do hope that some people choose to leave. It was a hard decision.
I can only imagine.
But it is what it is, man. I said, you know what? You're never going to be this young forever. So are you going to regret it now or are you going to regret it then? And I
if you got the feeling, go.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I knew I got the feeling when I was on YouTube and I typed in, how do you know? How do you know you shouldn't be, you know, engaged to someone? And then I went to the comments. And then the comments said, if you're on this page, if you stumbled across this and you've, you know, found it, that's a sign. And I said, okay, this is my sign. Mean,
literally, in my last relationship, which I write about, I Googled, can you be in love and depressed at the same time?
Aww.
In the sense of like...
I need this damn book.
Yeah.
And so, you know, of course, there are some contexts in which that can happen. Yeah. But my confusion was like... It was basically me struggling to understand what happens when the honeymoon phase ends.
Yeah.
Oh,
Which is a reality for a lot of people.
Yeah.
60-70% of relationships end after 3 months because that release of, I can't remember what chemical it is, that high you get drops. And then people
oxytocin?
Are like, who the fuck is that? Yeah.
So,
that was me at the end of last year. Remember when I came to the studio, Oloni said hi to me and I just burst out into tears.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember? I was going through it.
She burst into tears.
I just burst into tears. All she said was,
girl,
like,
you, I remember that. I was even going through my own drama. When you were telling me yours, I was thinking, girl, if only you knew my life. Girl. Is. Yeah, it was
literally, because every time, because I kept trying to hold it and every time I come to the studio, being ready just to have a, like a fun show because this is like my highlight of my week. Because
but then she burst into tears.
And all she was like, hey, hon. And I went, and then she was like, no, Nikki, no.
I was like, why are you crying? What's going on?
For real.
Crazy. Anyway.
Go on.
Did, what time did we start? I'm actually
we're wrapping up. Do you
no, I want to do more dilemmas.
Oh, you want more dilemmas? Do you want to do one more?
Let's do one more.
I just I'm baffed at what time we started.
Okay.
What time did we start?
It's been an hour now.
Let's start at 8:20.
Let's do.
I'm having a fucking great time.
Okay.
I'm not stressing about time. We're blessed. I just like, I think because in my head it was 7:45. I'm like, rah, we've done an hour and a half. That's sick.
Yeah.
No, it's calm.
Okay.
What was the thing last year? Was that a solo situation or
who was that?
Well, when I was heartbroken.
Yeah. It was a heartbreak.
No, I was legit heartbroken. Okay,
yeah.
But now you're stronger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, no, excuse Brittany. Me.
I am.
You are stronger. You don't talk to him no more.
No.
I don't believe you.
I don't talk to him no more.
Excuse me. That was a lie.
I'm going to be honest. Do I think about him a lot?
Yeah.
Weirdly, recently, yes. But then I always say, I can't go back to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't do that.
That's how it should
be. Has he tried to get in contact with me? Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Did I block the number? Yes.
Okay, good.
I had to.
Do you check the DMs? Yes.
Block. Oh, no, he's blocked on everything.
Block. Yeah. Blocking.
Good.
Blocking is my bad.
You can't have access to me.
I love a block.
Yeah.
I love a block. Seems you piss me off, block. But okay, let's do the next one. Let me see if I can find an interesting one.
We should go to half nine.
Yeah. Hey guys, my boyfriend and I argue over. No, I just did that one.
Let me see how it's the format. Let's see.
It's on my notes. Yeah, I just copy and paste them and post them in my notes. This is on my website. The ladies have some fun.
Is like the male apocalypse.
Oh my god, I haven't done that in ages.
Jokes, man. Also, did you guys talk? I didn't see the whole shits and gigs thing. Did they talk about that? About the fact that, like, well, a lot of their rep was built off of.
They gave her honorable shout out at the end.
Like, so much of their funniest moments have come from them just reading
doing your stuff,
The threads.
I'll only that. Look at me just backing come people on. Up.
Anyway, right, let's go. Next one. Oh, this is actually interesting. Mm-hmm. Hey, Oloni, I have herpes and I'm okay with it. I know that people lack knowledge and it has a stigma which is misunderstood. I've met a guy and we've been dating for 2 months. We haven't had sex yet because I wanted to let him know. When I told him, he seemed okay and never made a fuss. Mm. we had sex twice and now he's been weird and it's kind of fizzled out. Did I scare him off or is he like the rest? Two things can be true.
No, you haven't scared him off because you lot had sex twice. He came back.
I mean,
I don't think he's got anything to do with
you.
Have you met
him? Wait, but what does she think scared him off?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I think she's probably thinking maybe...
Paranoid.
She could be paranoid, yeah. Actually. She's probably thinking that herpes has probably scared him off.
Oh, what, her disclosing that to him?
Yeah, she's got herpes and they've had sex twice. She told him about it and they've had sex twice, but now...
Oh, now she's in her head that's the reason.
Yeah.
I mean, because of...
It could be anything, yeah. Honestly. His girlfriend that he really wants to be with could have come back.
Mm.
He could... I don't know. What else do you guys...
Listen, it's not you. Just remember, he came back after...
Well, so everyone's in the knowledge of that situation that she's in. Not everyone understands that.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't want to understand...
Yeah.
It, and I think there's like quite a dramatized perspective on that situation.
I'm thinking maybe that's just what he wanted.
That is true. Yeah.
It's hard to know, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's hard to know.
You have to, maybe text him and just say, hey, what is that about? Like, you know, we were getting on great. Told you about XYZ. We were intimate. Do you still want to carry on dating? Because you could have anything wrong with you. Like, you could be herpes free and that same thing could still happen. Mm. So, it's really hard to tell. Maybe you laughed funny and it just went off.
But why is she not asking?
Why is she not asking?
That's the thing.
I don't know. Like, a lot of people don't be asking questions when they should be.
I think she's very in her head. That's why.
It's hard. Like, communication is key, man.
Communication is key. But people say communication is key, but they don't actually communicate. Yeah. Do you know... Oh, actually, can I say that?
I can't.
It was on the dating show that I was watching. I just realised I can't talk about it.
Let's do one more dilemma then.
Okay, let's do another dilemma. Okay, this is a quick one. Hey, Aloni, what's the best way to shoot your shot with a guy on social media? This is a popular one we always get, and I said let me do this one because Jordan's on the show. So tell us. I know you shoot your shot.
Jay DM'd me first.
Really?
Are you sure? I texted a friend.
Okay.
I texted a friend and he texted her, and then she DM'd me.
Ooh,
that was the thing.
Okay.
So I texted.
Did you see immediately? Were you following each other already, or was was it in the requested?
What, Jade?
Yeah.
No. Nah, she weren't even, when we first started chatting, we weren't even following each other.
Yeah.
Obviously we did. She just DM'd me because that was the only way
to get through to you.
Yeah. You know.
Without the middleman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, shoot a shot on social media. I mean, I think the power that women have often is that like any approach from a woman on social media is like pretty exciting for a guy, I'd say, because a lot of guys are the ones shooting the shot. No,
yeah,
no,
a lot of guys do. Yeah, I think my ex, not my ex ex, my
your ex,
anyway, my ex ex ex.
Yeah,
I was the one who jumped into his DMs.
Is it? And it was a good response.
It was a good response.
That's what I mean. So I think like just making the first move in itself. But one thing I do hate is hey.
Why?
Because I don't know how a woman can jump in and say hey, and if there's no response or hey. I've had it before with friends, yeah, where like my friend will be like looking for a guy and then it'll be like hey UK, yeah, cool, and then she'll be like, oh, chat's so dry, and I'm like, yo, your chat's also dry. Like, you can't, do you know what I mean? You can't expect much from and I'm not expecting people to do the most, but like just something more. And if something that reflects who you are, your personality, like I'm like a quirky weird person. When Jade hit me up, the way she was chatting, it was just I found it jokes. It had more substance to it.
Aww.
So like, because she was just from the bat, she was just busting jokes, you know what I'm saying? And I think like that would cut through. So don't be afraid. My thing would be, don't be afraid to be weird. If you're like weird or strange or like, don't be afraid to put that part of you out there soon.
When do you know you've gone too far and you should probably
when they don't respond? Listen, some people are dry,
yeah,
so at least you'll know for sure if you do something jokes and they respond with something like mid, then you're
because as a woman, I just know when to stop. Like, you see the guy that I said is my crush, the one from last week, I shot my shot in the DMs.
Yeah,
and like,
what do you say? Was it hey?
No,
you said hey, innit?
Let's see your phone.
No, he commented on my story and I was like, this guy's nice, and I was like, oh, you're, I just said, how you doing, how's your day going, cool, and we were just talking about the day, and I just thought, listen, I'm not going to drag on the conversation. I know how your day is doing. You said it's good. And I said, do you know what? Can I actually have your number? Because I actually want to talk to you a bit more.
Come on.
And I was so brave because that's not me. And then he gave me his number, but then he was just moving along after he gave me his number. So I just...
Just like can't give a set date.
So we were talking, so we were like messaging each other, and I said, okay, let's skip the messages. Like, we've spoken for like an hour or two is enough. I know what my pursuit is. Can I call you at this time? He said, yeah, sure. I called him at said time, no response. All right.
Is it?
If there's no response, you've seen the missed call. You knew I was going to call you. So I'm going to wait for you to return the call. Like a normal person. Never returned the call. I think like 2 days later in the afternoon, he was like, oh, I had people over. And I said, oh, okay. I said, I hope you had a good time. When I left you, it alone.
Why did you suggest that time?
Why'd you give me your number?
That's flags already.
Like, yeah, and I was
that's flags from the jump.
So now he has now returned to the DMs and you can stay there.
Yeah, stay there.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Stay there. That's the man who's not ready as well.
Yeah. I think strategically positioning yourself is good. So for example, if they post something in their story that you find interesting, reply to it, see if a conversation can come from it, leave it for a bit, try it again, maybe just like build up that social media kind of like, you know.
Go on before we finish. There's something I want to ask you guys, because I've been thinking about it and I asked it on a different podcast, but I don't think it ever actually came out. Right, so if you're dating OnlyFans, we're fans of OnlyFans, right? So like, if you're dating somebody, are you what's your vibe with them being subscribed to someone else's OnlyFans?
Oh, I'm okay with it.
It's fine.
Well, I subscribe to OnlyFans.
Are there
But you have to tell me. I would like to know about it.
Yeah.
Okay, when you say you're subscribed, to what?
Yeah. Not currently, but I've subscribed to some.
To guys on it?
Girls, no. Once I look at guys. Sorry.
Excuse me.
I'm not being funny, but women are just more beautiful. I don't know. I wouldn't look at men on OnlyFans.
I can't lie. If I've got OnlyFans, I want to see cheese.
What do you mean? What do you mean women are more beautiful?
I look at men for free. I'll pay to see women.
Yeah.
I support like women sex workers.
Do you support male sex workers?
Do I support male sex workers?
You don't support male sex
workers?
In spirit.
Why
like,
not?
I will masturbate and like, you know, watch your shit, but I'm paying for the women.
Yeah. That's like my first time.
What?
This is not good.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's a double standard.
How is it a double standard if sex workers in itself is not even a triple standard? It's literally women don't even, who benefits more, men or women?
From what?
From sex work. Men benefit more. Nobody's looking at them funny. Society literally looks at... There was a guy, I think his name is... This white guy who did a street interview. I think his name is Girth or something Girth anyway. Girth. Something to do with
his the first
that's
name.
That's not an innuendo at all.
And people were just like, oh, I went to go subscribe to go watch this shit. Like, it was literally people praising how huge his dick is.
Okay.
Anytime...
Oh,
we find out that someone is a sex worker, or they, you know, a woman is a sex worker. It's literally like, oh, I could watch your girl for $5.99.
You know,
Netflix charged more than that.
That's bullshit.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I think that's bullshit.
Is that not a double standard in itself? So I would rather support the women who get the brunt and the bullshit that comes along with being a sex worker than men who can literally open their dick not get any shit for it.
I think, but one of the issues I would say
that might even constitute
why men can be so toxic in conversations about, again, sex work is because the value of the penis is rock bottom.
Of course. Oh, that too.
Worthless.
There's no value in it. Yeah.
Right. So I'm saying this is an opportunity where a man is valuing his penis.
Yeah.
And like, maybe more like, you know, listen, I'm not expecting you to do whatever.
I don't do it regularly, by the way.
Because you know, for example, like in cities like London, where women nowadays have more opportunity to earn capital. You can amass power in the city, maybe not more than men, but like you see a rise in female driven sex parties and the desire for like a controlled environment where a woman can be pleasured, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that I find fascinating. And I think there's been a rise in heterosexual sex work.
Yeah.
I think there should be more investigation about that. And I'm hoping that in doing that, men who use stupid terms like mileage or say women are going to devalue themselves. And all that shit. It's like, because the other complexity there is these women are earning factually more money than the men who are buying their OnlyFans.
Yeah.
And I think that's also an incredibly confusing mm-hmm. thing for men. Some of these OnlyFans people are doing incredibly well.
Absolutely. And I feel like if the same value, if men were able to...
They're providing the value. That's what I think is
they're providing the value. But I feel like if the shoe was on the other foot for men, oh, they would, their penises would be everywhere. Yeah,
if there was the market.
Yeah, they would. And I think some of them are actually quite envious that women are able to use their sexuality and profit off it.
It's massively because of their course. Claim is that women don't earn that.
Yeah.
That's it. You're born fit.
Exactly.
You're born sexy.
Let me see you try and be a bad bitch. Yeah. Wake up every day. It is hard work to be a bad bitch,
that's
okay?
On Twitter.
Who?
The Gucci
third leg.
Gucci third leg.
See his porn. I want my burner.
When I
watch him.
I said Jesus. Yeah. That is a penis.
That is a penis.
That is a penis.
That is a penis.
So in this relationship, how many? Only how many subscriptions?
There's not a limit.
Is it limitless?
I think as long as you're not bordering
25. If this man is spending, is spending like £300 a month,
how much he spending for me? If he's spending, I like these hyper niggatheticals, but I would say it depends how much he's spending on me, and also I feel like as long as you're not consuming,
one?
Just one. I think one is fine.
One subscription.
I think one is fine. And do you know what?
What if the woman was looked opposite to you?
Opposite to me, she would be. So, like, what? A white man opposite to me,
No, 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 white woman. Okay, all white man.
A white man.
That's some other shit.
Let's not limit it.
Okay, now we're getting into silly territory. Yeah. Now it's just about someone discovering their sexuality. Like, what?
That's true. It's true.
No, I'm just saying.
If she looks opposite, it's a good question. If she looked different from me, I'd actually say, I didn't know you were into that. Like, I didn't know that's your vibe. I feel like we'd have a conversation.
Because what I think.
And then I'd make you unsubscribe.
Yeah, lol.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying, because I find it so jokes where we've accepted the reality that porn can be consumed for free.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about earlier about ethical porn, OnlyFans is ethical porn.
Absolutely.
It's direct to consume. Mm. It's direct to.
Of course, there's no middleman in the.
Yeah, right.
OnlyFans. Yeah. Anyway.
And so, you know, I find it interesting engaging in conversations about like, what would be considered intimidating. I know women who would say that one subscription is unacceptable, but five is fine.
Yeah.
Because five is like, you're just out here just trying to live all your fantasies. Mm-hmm. A single one is like, there's too much focus on another woman.
Yeah, what's going on between you?
Regardless of the fact that obviously it's worked to this person. Mm. But I also find men's engagement with the concept of sex work terrifying too, because why can a woman elicit a feeling within you and then for them they can switch off? I think that's shocking.
Of course, it's like going to a strip club, you know, when a woman promises that she'll call you after the club.
Lol.
And she does it.
Like,
she told me a dream.
Yeah, no.
But I haven't. I mean, yeah, I feel like I subscribe to them though, out of research and support as well, because I'm not currently subscribed to any right now. But when I have, it was because I was like, I wonder how this works. I want to know. It's my industry. I want to understand it a little bit. So, but yeah, what were you going to ask?
What about you?
For me, one or a few is fine, but I don't want to see like 100 subscriptions. Yeah. I feel like that would be like mad.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Like, why?
Yeah.
Because you're really paying for this when I'm here.
But porn, that's just fun and interesting because you can just watch as much porn as you want.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, that's true.
So mad.
So what is the difference? Yeah. One is ethical, the other isn't, I guess. I guess it's the idea of parting with money.
That's what I'm trying to say. Isn't it?
Yeah. You're really parting with money for this person you're never ever going to meet.
I get it.
You know what I mean? It's mind blowing. But what if you do?
I chatted to an OnlyFans girl before.
Yeah.
A while ago, years ago. And like, they were saying that they were out and seen one of their
customers, clients. Yeah.
And this. Face just went fucking white. Like, you can know, yeah, you know what I mean? Because they'll just be like rattled.
Yeah.
Because the whole, you know, I think to their extent, there's a boundary there too.
Yeah, of course.
But when suddenly you're presented with, how much they've been engaging with your.
Yeah, it's true. No, it's true.
It's fascinating.
I mean, it happens with just hyper visible people, even outside of sex. I mean, I'm sure you get people who come up to you and they're like star. You know what I mean? Like,
I guess a mad.
Yeah.
Exactly. I literally had it just as I was walking in.
Really? I remember the first time my sister saw someone screaming at me. I had to tell her to fix her face because she was looking at them with pure disgust.
Oh, for real.
And they were too busy in their world screaming. I had to like, fix your face.
Like, you see me, I'm just happy to be here. I went to one concert, yeah. Do you know all these girls? One girl came and dragged me for a photo. She went, "Is Olani with you?" And I went, "We're not glued to the hip." And then she went, and then she literally just pulled me and I took the picture. I thought it was cute. And I was just like, is this what you not go through? Like,
Yeah, of course, But I mean, it's again, it's just like, that's another thing that we don't talk about because, you know, like public ownership, like,
oh my God.
Like confusion around like, people's sense of space. I was lucky as a young man because I was, again, I was given guidance when I was young about like how to act correct around people. I had a golden rule. This drove me, right?
Yeah.
We can do this. This is inspirational. This is my inspiring.
Let's go. Let's go.
I was like, you know, I won't say hi to somebody I recognize unless they recognize me. That's my rule.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that drove me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you sometimes know? I do, sometimes I don't. When it comes to seeing someone I recognize, I'm just like, Wait, quick fun fact. So, the Bolting brothers, tell us more.
Bolting brothers, that's my grandfather. Yeah. John Bolting, my granddad, my mum's dad. Incredibly prestigious director back in the day.
Yeah.
Discovered, I don't know if I said discovered David Attenborough. Not David Attenborough, Richard Attenborough.
Richard, yeah.
Which meant that I met David Attenborough when I was a kid, which was crazy because this man was narrating my life. Like, you know what I mean? I was, that voice.
Yeah.
And I said hi to him and he went, "Hello, Jordan."
Oh, my God, that was good. That was good.
"Have you tried the chocolate fountain?" That's on birthday, you know? Bolton brothers, man, that's my legacy. I mean, I guess that's the British side of me, and love, I want to do some directing when I'm older. So yeah,
avoidance, drugs, heartbreaks, and dogs. Make sure you guys get your hands on it.
It's amazing. You can pre-order it now.
You've got it. A few Afua Hirsch and Dolly Alton have already given their quotes on it. Yeah. From the first sentence, you know you are reading something necessary, urgent, and totally original, brutally honest as well as poetic. But amazing, Jordan, thank you so much for joining us.
You guys are wicked. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No, you are amazing.
Honestly, I love listening to you talk.
I love listening to you.
I knew there was a clip that went viral the other day, and I said, yeah, this is Jordan. He'd be getting deep. People were like, this is like, so I'm going to start, but I'd be knowing. Yeah. I already knew you was kind of.
I can't not, man. It's actually an issue.
Yeah.
I need to chill out.
How do you feel when your stuff goes viral, though?
That was mad, the one you're talking about. Yeah. Shea Burr is like, you know what I mean? And I just suddenly start getting texts on my phone, and I'm just like, "Rah, what's going on?"
Yeah,
but it was cool because
it was good. Good PR.
I wanted to create conversation, and that's what happened.
Exactly.
And you know, everything's fluid. Everything is. I'm all ears. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If there's more input, which however someone feels about it, I'm open. I'm not like rigid in my thoughts and beliefs, but I think it's important to at least start the conversation.
Yes, I love it, and hopefully it will continue.
Yeah,
amazing.
Where can we find you?
Yeah, Jordan F. Stevens on everything, I think. I'm not like mad active on social media, but TikTok, I like.
You're not that active on Twitter anymore, are you?
I deleted that shit.
You deleted it?
I go on it on my iPad, like, to check things sometimes, but that place is crazy.
It is crazy. I hope I join you one day. Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah, but I'll be checking for you though.
Really?
I'll be checking, yeah, because you have the, I've been.
She has the Twitter formula.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I've been on the fridges for a minute.
No,
like,
my sister's trying to get me the fuck out of there. She's just like, leave that place,
but
man.
You'll find that, but there'll be a moment where that transition will happen. Yeah. There'll be a platform where that transition will happen.
I hope so. Maybe TikTok, who knows?
But like, if you have a healthy relationship with Twitter, fine. It was just for me, it was like a lot.
Nah, sometimes it does get a lot. It really
TikTok
does.
I find funny.
Yeah, TikTok, I love TikTok.
I love TikTok. But
the thing is, I wake up, first thing I do is check my tweets. I'm just like, this can't be a normal thing to do. Mm. Nah, I'm going to try anyway. I would like to get up and start running at 4 a.m. in the morning. That's what I would like to do.
And we'll end it on that.
Yeah.
4 a.m. run.
Nikki, wait, why are we laughing?
I said, excuse me.
Why can't I run at 4 a.m.?
Four is ridiculous.
You think so?
You're being ridiculous.
Five?
Yeah. Five we can work with.
I'm going to do the marathon ridiculous. Next year.
Do you know what? I'm just not part of the exercise community.
What's the earliest you're saying?
To what?
To run. She said, I don't run, I walk.
I'm even struggling to make it to my shower on time when I'm going to work. Let alone get out and run.
Do you run in the morning? You give me runner vibes.
I play football a lot.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Right, I mean, then. I low-key came from the gym.
Who do you support?
Arsenal.
Yay! Come okay, on. cool. Sport. You're Man U.
I'm a Man United.
Bye. Anyway, our producer's got his jacket on.
He's gotta go.
Forget the fuck.
He's got dinner plans at 10, motherfucker. What are you talking about? What is this shit? Fuck's sake, you're hungry, man.
Right.
How hungry are you? Scale of 1
tell
to
us,
10.
Tell us.
I can't, I'm starving.
Guys, you know where to catch me on all socials at Oloni and Laid Bear Podcast.
Laid Bear.
Laid Bear. We will see you guys next week.
Come on.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.